Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker. Our next guest says being black can be bad for your health, even if you're a doctor.
Dr. Damon Tweedy says while poverty and access to health care are major causes of bad health outcomes, a lack of black doctors is a big part of the problem.
Dr. Tweedy is assistant professor of psychiatry at Duke University Medical Center. His new book is titled Black Man in a White Coat, A Doctor's Reflections on Race and Medicine. He'll be talking about his book tonight at Harvard Bookstore, but first he joins us in studio. Dr. Tweedy, welcome.
Thank you.
So, doctors, patients, before we talk with Dr. Tweedy, or while we're talking with Dr. Tweedy, we want to hear from you as well. Does race play a role in doctor-patient interactions? Is there a bias that could affect health outcomes? And does a dearth of black doctors factor into poor health outcomes among African Americans? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Dr. Tweedy, let's start with the premise that you say being black can be bad for your health. And you've written about some staggering statistics, things such as the infant mortality rate among blacks being twice that of whites, black women being 40% more likely to die from breast cancer. What are some of the reasons, do you think, behind these bad health outcomes?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. And so the way that I approach it in the book is I use stories from patients that I've seen, and I really sort of talk about it on that level, on a personal level, and then applying what I see there to this bigger question. And so I think what I've learned is that there are like three different ways of looking at it. So there's the things at the system level. We're talking about issues like black people having less likely to have health insurance, being in segregated communities where there's less access to medical care, those kinds of big picture problems. Then there's issues at the doctor-patient level in terms of trust and communication with the doctor and believing that the doctor has your best interest in following, you know, the doctor's recommendations. There's all sorts of issues that come up there. And then there's issues at the level of the community and individuals in terms of, you know, lifestyle behaviors around diet and exercise and nutrition. And all these things sort of interconnect and intertwine. And they all really conspire to cause worse health outcomes among African Americans.
And so how could more black doctors help?
Well, I think there's a number of ways. So if you're talking about an issue like primary care, especially like primary care or psychiatry, which is my field, the relationship between the doctor and the patient is incredibly important. And so if the doctor doesn't really have the information, the patient doesn't feel comfortable sharing the information that they to the doctor can't necessarily make the best treatment. Right. So and I think there's a case where doctors can make a huge difference. So, for instance, I found in my work that I've often been sort of like a translator in a way. Often African-American patients will have a mistrust of the healthcare system.
Right.
And as a result of that mistrust.
They have historic reasons.
Yes.
That,
yes.
Right?
Sure. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It seems like a long time ago, but those things still echo in modern day life. Mm. And so the way in which so if you are wary or mistrust the healthcare system, you may not share the information with the doctor that you need, and the doctor may not be able to, you know, to provide the best care for you. So that's just one kind of example of that. You know, even myself, so I talk about myself in the book in terms of my own issues with health problems. And so I had high blood pressure diagnosed as a first-year medical student. And for years, I struggled with this idea of how to eat better and to and what I found was that a lot of it wasn't just changing. Change is hard for everyone, but there was this whole other cultural factor, this whole idea that eating foods of one way, it was something I associated with my background, and then eating a certain kind of healthy foods I associated with a white population, and there was this whole sort of barrier that I had to overcome. So I think as a doctor, like, I can understand that when I interact with patients who are struggling with these same problems. And so because it was almost as if like changing a certain your diet was not just about the food itself, it was like what it represented. It was almost like this idea that it represented something more, like giving up a part of you. And so I think a lot of doctors may not understand that when they talk to their patients and interact with patients, but as an African-American doctor, I certainly have talked to patients and helped them in that way to sort of reckon with that.
But you were able to do that. You were able to do that and eventually overcome that and realize that you had to make that change. You had to eat those foods for your own health.
Yeah, yes, but yes, exactly. But I think I use my own experience as a patient, and I impart that into my interactions with other patients that I see as a doctor. So as an African-American physician, I can certainly relate to that perspective. And that's something that, because, you know, all too often you may just want to prescribe medications, but you have to kind of get to what the heart of what the issue is. And so I think oftentimes I've been able to do that with African-American patients.
Now, your book is part memoir, and it's also part commentary on race.
Sure, it's both. health.
And medicine. And you compellingly tell the story of growing up working class and then getting full scholarship to Duke University Medical School. And this was 20 years ago or so, right?
Yes.
And
getting old, huh?
No, but you write about the racism then.
Sure.
Certainly. And in the beginning of medical school, just 20 years ago, a professor mistook you for the maintenance man in class. Can you tell that story and describe that?
Yeah, so this book really has two different goals. So one is to tell this story about how being black is bad for your health and talking about patients in the healthcare system. This other goal of the book is to talk about my own journey as an African-American doctor and what that's like. You know, being a black man, what all that means in society in a white coat and being in the part of the medical profession. So I had a pretty rude awakening. So I went to medical school thinking that I could kind of escape issues of race and I would be on this sort of track of science and objectivity and I could avoid all these sort of messy issues in society. But that first month of medical school, I walked into the classroom one day and a professor came up to me and in sort of an angry, irritated way. And, you know, he said, "Are you here to fix the lights in the room? I asked you about this last week. Can you please do this now?" And so it was a really, pretty terrible case of mistaken identity, to say the least.
I told him,
I was told him I was a student, but, I almost was in disbelief because my first thought was to think maybe I had done something wrong. I looked at myself. Did I present myself the right way? All these other sorts of things that you carry with you as an African-American man. But none of that was the case. And it was really a case that, his perception of me was something different, that I couldn't be a medical student in his class. And so, so for me, what I had to do in that particular instance is to really show him that I was in study around the clock. And that was my way of dealing with it, to really excel to the highest degree. So that was one example of the misperceptions that happened. And then there are cases with patients where I would have the same kind of experiences as well, where they would perceive me as anything other than a doctor.
Did a patient ever refuse to let you treat them because of race?
So my first year after medical school, one of my first years as an actual newly minted doctor, a patient came, an elderly gentleman, elderly white man who had trouble breathing. He had pneumonia. And he basically his first words were that he didn't want a black doctor. He didn't use black. He used a racial slur to indicate that. I mean, it was very unpleasant language. So, again, I'm at this period point in my career where I'm transitioning, and here I'm facing this, and these changes are hard for everyone, but then there's this added obstacle being an African-American physician. So he didn't actually refuse care, but he was very he certainly did not want me to be his doctor. And his family had a very similar frame of mind. When I met them the following day, they were sort of all adorned in Confederate flag attire and tattoos and all those sorts of things. So it's pretty intimidating when you're a young doctor and you're just trying to find your way to have this whole other layer added to it. And so the book really explores, the challenges that come with that. That story actually has a pretty surprise ending. I won't give it away here. But certainly a lot of challenges that I faced along the way. And those are just two of the ones that I talk about in the book.
And psychiatry, which, why psychiatry? Why go into that? And historically, isn't that a field that not as many African-Americans seek treatment in?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, it's a very good point. Psychiatry just kind of fell into it as far as why I chose it. When I started medical school, that was the last thing I thought I would do, honestly. I thought I was going to be a cardiologist and unclog arteries, and that was going to be my life. But I found during medical school, actually, I didn't like psychiatry in the beginning, but then towards the end, I took a rotation and towards the very end of medical school, and I found that I seemed to have an aptitude for connecting with people in a sort of one-on-one, kind of slower pace, and it seemed to really work for me. So psychiatry, I kind of fell into psychiatry. But what I didn't really realize until I really got into it was this whole issue you're talking about. When I talked to my family members, they were actually pretty surprised. They're like, "Well, psychiatry isn't that for that's for the other part of society. That's not for us." There's this idea in the African American community often that mental health is a luxury you can't afford. Mental health treatment is something for people who have rich people's problems or those sorts of things you may hear as people say, or for white people. I mean, you even will hear people say that, and that black people can handle their issues from within, or within the family, within the church. What you find is that mental health problems do not discriminate, black people have mental health problems just like other folks do, but there's a big barrier and stigma. And so a lot of my role has been as a psychiatrist to sort of help work through that stigma for people and help them seek care and to normalize it and not be afraid of what they might, you know, of care. But again, this goes back to that initial issue of the cultural mismatch. Often if you're coming from a certain community and you have mental health problems and you see a doctor who's not like you, you think they can't understand you, you're not likely to, as likely to share your experiences. And so I think that's a big deal in psychiatry in particular.
Okay. We want to ask our listeners if they have comments about this. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking about race and medicine. How does race affect medicine? Should it? Shouldn't it? What have your experiences been? You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And with us in the studio is Dr. Damon Tweedy. He's an assistant professor of psychiatry at Duke University Medical Center, and his new book is Black Man in a White Coat, A Doctor's Reflections on Race and Medicine. And I'm wondering, Dr. Tweedy, I know you've said that you feel that more doctors would help improve outcomes, particularly more black doctors would help improve health outcomes, particularly among African Americans, but shouldn't medical school really make sure that all doctors, regardless of race, treat all patients the same way, regardless of race, and that they should be looking at patients in a very neutral way? Is that naive of me to expect that medical school is training doctors in such a way?
Well, I think that's certainly the goal. And so, I mean, I guess just to kind of take a quick step back, you know, as far as the numbers, so African Americans are about 13% of the population. And about in terms of doctors, are about 4%. Now, I don't think the goal should be that every black patient should have a black doctor and we should segregate care. I really don't think that's the goal at all. But I think that there are clear benefits to having black doctors in certain situations, given the history of that we have. But as far as, so I think the larger goal is that, we should educate all students to be able to interact with people across, with people of different backgrounds. I think that's a really important thing that is, it's a hard thing to do, but I think it's something that we've been trying more, and there's been more concerted efforts of that in the last, 20 years or so. In the book, I talk about my interactions with white patients, people whom I had very different backgrounds, and how I was able to, we had very different views of the world, and how we were able to get beyond that and to have a good doctor-patient relationship. So I think there are examples in there that can be applied to white doctors, Asian doctors who are seeing African-American patients. And so that's as much important point I want to make as this idea of having more black doctors.
What would you say was probably the most important thing that you found dealing with patients who came from a very different background than you mm-hmm. did? What was the biggest thing that helped you sort of reach that common ground with that patient?
Well, you'd be surprised what the similarities you can still have with someone. Even if you have a completely different background, you may have different beliefs about all sorts of things, politics, all other sorts of things you may completely disagree on. But, for instance, in the book, I talk about a case where there's a young guy and he talks about his father. So one day I just ask about his dad. I mean, we have parents. I have parents. And so I asked about his dad. And, he and his dad shared this. They played pool together. And that was an interest that me and my dad did. So it's a very small thing, right? But that little connection allowed me to be able to see him in a little bit different way. And I think it also did the same for him with me. And so I think something as small as that can be the foundation. I mean, despite the wide differences, there's still things that we have in common. So it's really trying to be able to find some common ground. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really the important piece.
You write about some of the complicated emotions you had, again, when you were in medical school,
sure.
dealing with a young woman who was addicted to drugs
sure.
and came in mm-hmm. in early labor. Can you tell that story?
Well, so this is a young woman. This is very early medical school, one of my first rotations mm-hmm. on the obstetrics and gynecology rotation. So this is what you're dealing with, women who are pregnant and having babies. And so this was a young girl. She was still a teenager, actually, and she came to the hospital with signs of basically a miscarriage. It was actually a stillbirth, but miscarriage. And so she was had used drugs. And so that was sort of one of the reasons why. I mean, we don't know the whole story, but that's from what we could tell in the brief interactions that we had, that was a big part of what took place.
But she denied it.
Yeah, she denied it at first, exactly. She denied it at first. And so I was very inexperienced at the time and really didn't know. I was really learning how to interview people and sort of how to, get to the bottom of things, if you will. Mm-hmm. So my supervisor, there was much more experience. And the way that they came at the patient, they got the information, but it was shocking as to how they went about it. They were sort of accusatory and, it was really a shocking kind of thing. And then I guess even more troubling than that was really afterwards, there was some talk about, should we sterilize this woman? And so there were all other sorts of kind of complicated issues that arose. It was a really difficult situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to,
And what do you think you took from that?
Yeah, so, I think in some ways it's easy to make judgments about people. So I guess when you see someone in that setting, you don't know their whole story. And so really it was only after everything had happened that we really learned her life story and how tragic it was and how complicated it was. And, you know, in some ways it shows the limitations of medicine in terms of you're dealing with these larger issues in society. And so that was really an eye-opener as to how so many of the other social forces in society impact health on the ground. Mm-hmm. When I went to medical school, I was attracted by this idea that medicine was objective and just sort of science-based, but there's so much that goes on in the outside world that really impacts it. So that really opened my eyes to that.
Right. The numbers are, what, about 5% of American doctors are black,
it's about 4% practicing. It's about 6% in medical school. So the numbers are slightly higher as far as current medical students.
Even though it's about 13% of the population
is
black. Is that right?
Yes.
So what should medical schools do you mm-hmm. think? I mean, there are predominantly black medical schools, right? Meharry Medical School, Nashville, Howard.
And D.C. Yeah.
So what should medical schools do to change those numbers? What can they do?
Well, I mean, I think it's not as if, because you're talking about the issues that start at the beginning of life, right? So you have to talk about education and improving the education system and opportunities for African-Americans. So you're really talking about things at the beginning. I mean, by the time you got into college and you're trying to recruit people, you got to have a pipeline of people to even recruit. So it's only right. So medical schools, only to the extent that they can reach back further, can they really make a real dent in the problem. There's actually a recent report that came out that showed that among all physicians, the numbers have increased, with the exception of African-American males. So African-American women, the numbers have actually increased pretty considerably over the last 30, 40 years. But African-American men, the numbers have stagnated and even declined. And that's the only demographic group where that's been the case. I think that speaks to bigger issues in society in terms of the expectations of what African-American men can do and achieve and all the sort of stereotypes that apply to us. And I think that filters down from the top down to the community.
And the competition to get into medical school is such that it's really numbers, right?
Well, yeah, it's a big part of it. Yeah, it's a huge part of it. So if you're not prepared, if you haven't been prepared, so a lot of times you'll see applications where students just really haven't been prepared for medical school. You can tell along the way that if maybe they had more guidance or more support along the way, that things could be very different. So that's a huge problem. But it's really hard to address it at the level by the time they're in college. You really have to start earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the challenge that we're facing. And so I think a lot of schools are aware of that, and they're reaching out to younger children. So, for instance, I've had junior high school students and high school students that I've come, and they've shadowed us and worked with me and things like that.
And what encouraged you?
Yeah, well, so I think that's part of the issue, right? Having someone that you can see who looks like you, who's achieved things. So for me, I actually tested into a kind of on a whim. A teacher really took interest in me in middle school. I went to a very sort of ordinary middle school, but a teacher took interest in me and encouraged me to apply for this magnet program, which I would never have considered doing otherwise. And as a result of that, being in this magnet program, that sort of set me on a track. And I got to around a different group of students, and it really was able to expand my horizons. And then as I got into college, I met a young African-American cardiologist, and he really was an example of something that I wanted to be. And so that was really how I got there. So it's really so much about role modeling and having people encourage you along the way.
You know, the New York Times book review has written about your book, and there was a small criticism in that mm-hmm. review, and it said that your book doesn't offer much in the way of useful policy suggestions mm-hmm. about issues like the cost of medical
sure.
care or how to handle uninsured patients. Mm-hmm. What do you say about that?
So that's been the one criticism that I have gotten. So, you know, this really, you know, if I had written this story 10 or 15 years ago when I was a law school graduate, I probably would have had a much more of a sort of policy-based political type book. But, you know, I got into psychiatry and I'm really interested in story and personal story. And I really think there's still a lot to learn. There's a lot you can learn from stories. There's a lot that can educate people about these problems. What I found as I've gone on the tour is that so many people weren't even aware of these issues at all. So in order to begin to change things, you have to have some awareness of them. That said, I feel like I still do talk about these issues. I talk about the Affordable Care Act, the pros and cons, how it's helped, how it's been sort of limited and undercut due to sort of politics. I do discuss that in the book, and there are other issues that I address as well. But I think the first issue is just sort of education, awareness, and then sort of inspiring people to make better choices and to do better. That's kind of where I'm coming from.
Okay. Dr. Damon Tweedy, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry at Duke University Medical Center. His new book, which he'll be discussing tonight at Harvard Bookstore, is titled Black Man in a White Coat, A Doctor's Reflections on Race and Medicine. For an excerpt, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Dr. Tweedy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker with Anthony Brooks, and this is Radio Boston.